This is Audible.
The land of Colchis, skimming through the blue Symplegades. Nor ever had fallen in the glades of Pelion the smitten fir tree to furnish oars for the hands of heroes who in Pelias' name had tempted the golden fleece. For then my mistress Medea would not have sailed for the towers of the land of Iolcus, her heart on fire with passionate love for Jason. Nor would she have persuaded the daughters of Pelias to kill their father, and now be living here in Corinth with her husband and children. She gave pleasure to the people of her land of exile, and she herself helped Jason in every way. Now there's hatred everywhere. Love is diseased. Deserting his own children and my mistress, Jason has taken a royal wife to his bed, the daughter of the ruler of this land, Creon. Poor Medea is slighted and cries aloud on the vows they made to each other, the right hands clasped in eternal promise. She calls upon the gods to witness what return Jason has made to her love. She lies without food, gives herself up to suffering, wasting away every moment of the day in tears, not stirring an eye, not moving her face from the ground. No more than either a rock or surging seawater she listens when one tries to console her. Sometimes she twists back her white neck and moans to herself, calling out on her father's name and her land, and her home betrayed when she came away with Jason. Poor creature. She has discovered by her sufferings what it means to have lost one's country. Every she thinks of some dreadful thing. Her heart is violent. I know her of old, and I fear lest she may sharpen a sword and thrust to the heart, stealing into the palace where the bed is made, or even kill the king and the new wedded groom, and thus bring a greater misfortune on himself. And here the children come. They have finished playing. They have no thought of their mother's trouble. What do the young know of grief?
You old retainer of my mistress' household, why are you standing here alone in front of the gates and moaning to yourself over your misfortune? Medea could not wish you to leave her alone.
Old man and guardian of the children of Jason, if one is a good servant, it is a terrible thing when one's master's luck is out. Goes to one's heart. A longing stole over me to come outside here and tell the earth and air of my mistress' sorrow.
Is the poor lady not yet given up her crying?
She's at the start, not halfway through her tears.
Poor fool. If I may call my mistress such a name, how ignorant she is of trouble more to come.
What do you mean, old man?
Nothing.
Don't hide this from me, your fellow servant.
I heard a person saying, while I myself seemed not to be paying attention, when I was at the place where the old draft players sit by the holy fountain, that Creon, ruler of the land, intends to drive these children and their mother into exile from Corinth. But whether what he said is true or not, I do not know. I pray that it may not be true.
Will Jason allow it that his children should suffer so?
Old ties give place to new ones. As for Jason, he no longer has a feeling for this house of ours.
It's black indeed for us when we add new to old sorrows before the present sky has cleared.
But you be silent and keep all this to yourself. It is not the right time to tell our mistress of it.
Do you hear, children? What a father he is to you. I wish he were dead. But no, he is still my master. Yet to prove so unkind to his dear ones.
What is strange in that? Have you only now discovered that everyone loves himself more than his neighbor? Jason neglects his children for the new bride.
Death, destruction, poison, fire!
Go indoors, children, and you do not bring them near their mother. I've seen her already blazing her eyes at them as though she meant some mischief, and I am sure she'll not stop raging until she has struck at someone.
Death. Oh, rotten, rotten, rotten! Death is my wish!
What did I say, dear children? Run away quickly into the house and keep well out of her sight. Go now. She will soon put lightning in that cloud of her cries. Oh, what will she do? Proud-hearted and not to be checked. A soul bitten into with wrong.
I curse you, children, and your father. Let the whole house crash!
I pity you, poor creature. How can your children share in their father's wickedness? Why do you hate them? Oh, children, how much I fear. Great people's tempers are terrible, dangerous. They shift from mood to mood. How much better to live on equal terms with one's neighbors, to be safe, and grow old in a humble way. Greatness brings no profit to people. God, indeed, when in anger, brings greater ruin to great men's houses.
I heard the voice. I heard the cry of Colchis' wretched daughter.
Tell me, nurse, is she not yet at rest? Within the double gates of the court I heard her cry.
I am sorry for the sorrow of this home.
Oh, say, what has happened?
There is no home. Her husband holds fast to his royal wedding, while she, my mistress, cries out her eyes there in her chamber and takes no warmth from any word of any friend.
I wish that lightning from heaven split my head open. I want to die.
Oh, God and earth and heaven.
Did you hear what a cry was that which the sad wife sings?
Poor foolish one. Why should you long for that appalling rest? The final end of death comes fast.
No need to pray for that.
Suppose your man gives honor to another woman's bed.
It often happens.
God will be your friend in this.
You must not waste away grieving too much for him who shared your bed.
Great Themis, Lady Artemis, behold the things I suffer. My husband, I pray that I may see him, him and his bride, and all their palace shattered. Poison! Fire magic, a sword! Oh, my father! Oh, my country! In what dishonor I left you!
Do you hear what she says? And how she cries on Themis, the goddess of promises? Of this I am sure. that no small thing will appease my mistress' anger.
Will she come into our presence? Will she listen when we are speaking to the words we say?
I wish she might relax her rage and temper of her heart.
Go inside and bring her out of the house to us.
And speak kindly to her.
Hurry, before she wrongs her own.
This passion of hers moves to something great.
I will. Those poets of old who wrote songs for revels and dinners and banquets, pleasant sounds for men living at ease, none of them all has discovered how to put an end with their singing. Grief, bitter grief, from which death and disaster cheat the hopes of a house.
I heard a shriek that was laden with sorrow.
Shrilling out her hard grief, she cries out upon him who betrayed both her bed and her marriage.
Wrong, she calls on the gods, on the justice of Zeus, and the oath sworn which brought her away to the opposite shore of the Greeks.
Through the gloomy salt straits,
to the gateway of the salty, unlimited sea.
Women of Corinth, I have come to you lest you should think me proud. For I know that many people are overproud, and a foreigner especially must not appear so. But this betrayal has broken my heart. I want only to die. Women are unfortunate. There's no easy escape for us. A woman needs prophetic power, unless she has learned how to manage him who shares the bed with her. And if her husband lightly bears his yoke, then life is enviable, if not insufferable. Men say we have a peaceful time living at home, while they do the fighting in war. How wrong they are. I would rather stand 3 times in the front line of battle than bear 1 child. Yet you have a country. Your home is here. You enjoy your lives in the company of your friends. But I am deserted. I have no father or brother, nor any friend with whom I could take refuge in this sea of woe. But this much I beg of you. If I can avenge this wrong, keep silent.
This I will promise.
You are in the right, Medea.
I do not wonder at your unhappiness.
But look, I see our King Creon approaching.
He will tell us of some new decree.
You with that angry look so set against your husband. Medea, I order you to leave my territories in exile and take along with you your 2 children, and not to waste time doing it. It is my decree, and I will see it done. I will not return home until you are cast from the boundaries of my land.
Banishment? Exile for me and my children? Oh, this is the end. Now I am in the full force of the storm of hate, and I have no harbor. What is your reason, Creon, for banishing me?
I am afraid of you. Why should I conceal it? Afraid that you may mortally harm my daughter. And there is reason enough for me to be fearful. You are versed in evil arts and are angry at the loss of your husband's love. I know that you are threatening some evil against my daughter and Jason, and against me, myself. I shall take precautions. I prefer to have your hatred now than to be soft-hearted and afterwards regret it. You and your children are banished from my land.
The children are Jason's children. He is your friend. What have I done?
You are a danger to my house.
Are you frightened, Creon, that I should harm you? There is no need.
It is not my way to transgress the authority of a king. How have you injured me? You gave your daughter away to the man you chose. Indeed, I hate Jason, but you, I think, have acted wisely. Nor do I grudge at you that your affairs go well. May the marriage be a lucky one. Only let me live in this land. For even though I have been wronged, I will not raise my voice, but submit to my betters.
What you say sounds gentle enough. Still in my heart, I greatly dread that you are plotting some evil. And therefore I trust you even less than before. No, you must go. No need for more speeches, the thing is fixed. By no manner of means shall you, an enemy of mine, stay in my country.
I beg you, by your knees, by your new wedded child.
Your words are wasted. You will never persuade me.
Will you drive me out and not heed my prayers?
I will, for I love my family.
Oh, my country, how bitterly I remember you. Oh, what an evil to men is passion.
It is evil or good, as fortune will have it.
Oh, God, do not forget who is the cause of this.
Oh, it is no use. Spare me the pain of forcing you.
I am spared no pain.
You shall be removed by force.
No, Creon, listen. I beg you.
Woman, must I have them drag you away?
I will go into exile. This is not what I beg of you.
Why then this violence and clinging to my hand?
Allow me to remain here for this one day. This little day. So I may consider where to live in my exile, and look for support for my children. Their father makes no provision for them. Have pity on them. You have children of your own. It is natural for you to look on them with kindness. For myself, I do not mind if I go into exile. I know that your will is law. But Creon, I beg of you, have mercy on my little son.
There is nothing tyrannical in my nature, and by showing mercy I have often been the loser. Even now I know that I am making a mistake. All the same, you shall have your will. But this I tell you, if the light of heaven tomorrow shall see you, you and your children, in the confines of my land, you die. This word I have spoken is firmly fixed. Stay. But stay for this day alone.
Oh, Creon.
Do not thank me. I grant you this, for in one day you cannot accomplish what I fear. Farewell, my dear.
Oh, unfortunate one.
Oh, cruel.
Where will you turn?
Who will help you?
What house or what land to preserve you from ill can you find?
Medea, a god has thrown suffering upon you in waves of despair.
Do you think that I would have fawned on that man unless I had some end to gain? I would not even have spoken or touched him with my hands. But he has given me this one day, and I will make dead bodies of three of my enemies, father, the girl, and my husband. I have many ways of death. I only do not know which one to take in hand. Whether to set fire to their bridal mansion, or sharpen a sword and thrust it to the heart. But if I am caught, I shall die and give my enemies cause for laughter. No, it is best to go by the straight road, the one in which I am most skilled, and make away with them by poison. So be it then. And now, suppose them dead. What town will receive me? What friend will offer me a refuge in his land? There is none. So I must wait a little time. And if some sure defense should appear, in craft and silence, I will set about this murder. But if my fate should drive me on without help, even though death is certain, I will take the sword. It shall not be. I swear it. By her, my mistress, whom I most honor, Hecate, who dwells in the recesses of my hearth, that any man shall be glad to have injured me. bitter I will make their marriage for them. Bitter they're driving me out of the land. Come, Medea, whose father was noble, whose grandfather was Helios, the sun. Leave nothing untried of all the magic you possess.
Flow backward to your sources, sacred rivers, and let the world's great order be reversed. It is the thoughts of men that are deceitful, their pledges that are loose. From henceforth, it shall be women who are honored. No more shall evil-sounding fame be theirs.
Cease now, you muses of the ancient singers, to tell the tale of my unfaithfulness. Not on us did Phoebus, lord of music, bestow the lyre's divine power, or I should have sung an answer to the race of men. Long time has much to tell of us, and much of them.
You sail away from your father. With a heart on fire, you pass the double rocks of the sea. And now, in a foreign country, you have lost your rest in a widowed bed and are driven forth in dishonor from the land.
Good faith has gone. And no more remains in great Greece a sense of shame.
It has flown away.
No father's house for a haven is at hand for you now.
Another queen of your bed has dispossessed you and is mistress of your home.
Jason.
It is Jason.
This is not the first time. I have seen it before, how hopeless it is to deal with your stubborn temper. With reasonable submission to our ruler's will, Medea, you might have lived in this land and kept your home. As it is, you're exiled for your loose speaking. Consider yourself most lucky that exile is your punishment. I, for my part, have always tried to calm the anger of the king and wished you to remain. But you will not give up your folly, continually speaking ill of him. And so you are going to be banished. All the same, and in spite of your conduct, I have come to make some provision for you, so that you and the children may not be penniless in exile. Exile brings many troubles with it, and though you hate me, I bear no malice toward you.
You, my worst enemy, have come to look me in the face. But I welcome you, Jason, for I can speak ill of you and lighten my heart, and you will suffer while you're listening. I saved your life, and every Greek knows I saved it, who was a shipmate of yours aboard the Argo. First, when you were sent to yoke the bulls that breathed fire, then when you sowed that deadly field, and then the snake who never slept, and encircled with his many folds the golden fleece you sought, I killed. Then I betrayed my father and my home, and came with you to Peleus' land of Iolcus. And last of all, I had him killed, Peleus, with a most dreadful death at his own daughter's hands. This is what I did for you. And you forsook me and took another bride to bed. Though you have children, if you had none, there might be reason for another wedding. You have broken your word to me. Where am I to go? To my father's, whom I betrayed? To Peleus' wretched daughters? What a welcome they would prepare for me, who had their father murdered. What shame for you, the new wedded groom, for his children and she who saved him, to wander as beggars. Oh, God, you have given to mortals a sure method of telling the gold that is pure from the counterfeit. Why is there no mark engraved upon men's bodies by which we can know the true from the false?
It is a strange form of anger, difficult to cure, when two friends turn upon each other in hatred.
Medea, I shall not answer you in kind, but like a man who has a good grip of the tiller, reef up my sail and so run away from under this mouthing tempest of your bitter tongue. But since you insist on building up your kindness to me, my view is that Cypris, goddess of love, was alone responsible of men and gods for the preserving of my life. You are clever enough, but I need not enter into the story of how it was love's inescapable power that compelled you to keep my person safe. Insofar as you helped me, you did well enough. But you have got from me more than you gave. Instead of living among barbarians, you inhabit a Greek land and understand our ways. How to live by law instead of the will of force. And all the Greeks consider you a clever woman. You are honored for it. While if you were living at the ends of the earth, no one would have heard of you. For my part, rather than stores of gold in my house, or power to sing even sweeter songs than Orpheus, I'd choose the fate that made me a person of renown. There is my reply to your story of labors. Next, for your attack on my wedding with the princess. Here I will prove that, first, it was a clever move, secondly, a wise one, and finally, that I made it in your best interest and the children's. When I arrived here from the land of Iolcus, beset as I was with every kind of difficulty, what luckier chance could I have come upon than this, an exile to marry the daughter of the king? It was not that I grew tired of your bed and felt the need of a new bride, nor with any wish to outdo your number of children. I am quite content. But this was the main reason, that we might live well, that I might bring my children up worthily, and by producing more to be brothers of yours, we would draw the families together and all be happy. You need no more children, and I may do good to those I have now by having others. Can you think this a bad plan?
Jason, you have made this speech of yours look well, but still I think you have betrayed your wife.
He is not wise.
Be sure of this. It was not because of a woman I made this royal alliance. But as I said before, I wish to preserve you and breed a royal progeny to be brothers to the children I have now, a sure defense to us.
I want no happy fortune that brings pain with it.
Do not consider painful what is good for you, nor when you are lucky, think yourself unfortunate.
I shall go from this land into exile, friendless.
This is what you chose yourself. Do not blame others for it.
And how did I choose it? Did I betray my husband?
You called down wicked curses on the king's family.
I shall call down a curse on your house, too.
If you wish for the children or for yourself to have some of my gold to help you in exile, say so, for I am prepared to give with open hand. Or to send you to my friends, who will treat you well. You are a fool if you do not accept this. Cease your anger, and you will profit.
I shall never accept the favors of your friends, nor take anything from you.
Then I call the gods to witness that I wished to help you and the children in every way, but you refused.
No! No doubt you yearn for your virginal bride and are guilty of lingering too long out of her house. Enjoy your wife! But perhaps, with the help of God and Hecate, it is a marriage that you will regret.
When love is in excess, it brings a man no honor nor any worthiness. But if in moderation Cypris comes, there is no other power so gracious. O goddess, never on me let loose the unerring shaft of your bow in the poison of desire.
Let my heart be wise. It is the god's best gift. On me let mighty Cypris inflict no wordy wars or restless anger to urge my passion to a different love. But with discernment may she guide women's weddings, honoring most what is peaceful in the bed.
O country and home, never, never may I be without you. Living a hopeless life, hard to pass through and painful, most pitiable of all. Let death first lay me low, and death free me from this daylight. There is no sorrow above the loss of a native land.
I have seen it myself.
Neither city nor friend pitied you when you suffered the worst of sufferings.
Oh, let him die ungraced whose heart will not reward his friends. Who cannot open an honest mind, no friend will he be of mine.
Medea, greeting.
Greeting to you too, Aegis, son of King Pandion. Where have you come from to visit this country's soil?
I have just left the ancient oracle of Phoebus.
And why did you go to Earth's prophetic center?
I went to inquire how children might be born to me.
Is it so? Your life is still childless.
Yes. By the fate of some power, we have no children.
And what did Phoebus say to you?
Words too wise for a mere man to guess their meaning.
Is it proper for me to hear the god's reply?
It is, for what is needed is wisdom.
Then what was his message?
I am not to loosen the hanging foot of the wineskin until I return again to my hearth and house.
And for what purpose have you journeyed to this land?
There is a man called Pythias, king of Troezen.
A son of Pelops.
With him I would discuss the reply of the god.
He is wise and experienced in such matters.
And to me also the dearest of all my friends.
I hope you achieve your will.
Why this downcast eye of yours and this pale cheek?
Oh, Aegis. Jason.
What of him? Say clearly what has caused this grief.
Jason wrongs me, though I have never injured him.
What has he done?
He has taken a wife to his house, supplanting me.
Surely he would not dare.
Be sure he has.
Did he fall in love? Is he tired of your love?
He is greatly in love, a passionate love for a royal house.
And who gave him his wife?
Creon, he who rules this land of Corinth.
Indeed, Medea.
And there's more to come. I am banished.
Banished? By whom?
Creon drives me, an exile, from the land of Corinth. Oh, Aegis, I beg and beseech you, by your beard and by your knees, you have pity on me. Have pity on your friend, and do not let me go into exile desolate. Receive me in your land and at your hearth. So may your love, with God's help, lead to the bearing of children, and so may you die happy. I will end your childlessness, and I will make you able to beget children. The drugs I know can do this.
Medea, I am anxious to do this favor for you, both for the sake of the gods and for the birth of children which you promise. For in that respect I am at my wit's end. If you reach my land, I, being in my rights, will try to befriend you. But I must warn you beforehand, I cannot agree to take you out of this country. If you by yourself can reach my house, then you shall stay there safely. To none will I give you up. But from this land you must make your escape yourself. I do not wish to incur blame from my friends here.
It shall be so. And if I might have a pledge from you for this, I would have all I desire.
Do you not trust me, Medea?
Oh, I trust you, yes. But the house of Pelias hates me, and so does Creon. If you are bound by this oath, should they try to drag me from your land, you will not abandon me. But if our pact is only words, with no oath to the gods, you would be unable to resist their summons.
You show much foresight. And if you will have it so, I will not refuse. On my side, this will be the safest way, to have some excuse to put forward to your enemies. And for you, it is more certain. You may name the gods.
Swear by the plain of earth, and Helios the sun, father of my father, by Zeus, by Themis, goddess of promises, by all the gods, that you yourself will never cast me from your land. Swear.
I swear by the earth, by the holy light of Helios, by Zeus, by Themis, goddess of promises, by all the gods, I will abide by this you say.
And if you break this oath, what shall happen to you?
What comes to those who have no regard for heaven?
So be it.
Farewell, for I am satisfied. And I will reach your city soon, having done what I must do.
May Hermes, god of travelers, escort you, Aegis, to your home.
And may you have the things you wish so eagerly.
God, and God's daughter Justice, and the light of Helios, now has come the time of my triumph over my enemies. And now my foot is on the road. This man, Aegis, has been like a harbor to me. To him I can fasten the cable of my safety. Now, I shall tell you the whole of my plan. I shall send one of my servants to find Jason and request him to come once more into my sight. And when he comes, the words I'll say will be soft ones. I'll say that I agree with him, that I approve the royal wedding he has made. I'll say it was profitable, it was wise. But I shall beg that my children may remain here. Not that I would leave in a country that hates me, children of mine, but that by a trick I may kill the king's daughter. For I will send the children with gifts in their hands to carry to the bride, a finely woven robe and a golden diadem. When she takes them and wears them upon her skin, she and all who touch her will die in agony. Such poison will I lay upon the gifts I send. I weep to think of what a deed I have to do after that. For I shall kill my own children. My children, there is none who can give them safety. And when I have ruined the whole of Jason's house, I shall leave this land and flee, and I shall have done a dreadful deed. So must it be. Those children he had from me, he will never see alive again, nor will he on his new bride beget another child.
Have shared the knowledge of your plan with us, and I both wish to help you and support the ways of mankind.
I tell you not to do this thing.
You may speak thus. You have not suffered as I have.
But have you the heart to kill your flesh and blood?
Yes!
Oh, of women, you will be most unhappy.
So must it be. Go, nurse, at once. Tell Jason to come to me. Go, go, find him.
Sons of blessed gods, they dwell in Athens, holy and unconquered land, where famous wisdom feeds them, and they pass gaily through that brilliant air, where once, they say, golden harmony gave birth to the nine pure muses of the area. And beside the sweet flow of Cephisus' stream, Cypris sailed, they say, to draw the water. And mild, soft breezes breathed along her path. And on her hair were flung the sweet-smelling garlands of flowers.
Of roses.
By the lovers, the companions of wisdom, her escort.
The helpers of men in every excellence.
How then can these holy rivers, or that holy land, love you? Or that city find you a home? You who will kill your children, you not pure with the rest.
Oh, think of the blow at your children, and think of the blood that you shed.
Oh, over and over I beg you, by your knees I beg you, do not be the murderess of your babes.
Where will you find the courage, or the skill of hand and heart, when you set yourself to attempt a deed so dreadful to do?
Oh, when you look upon them, can you tearlessly hold the decision for murder?
You will not be able.
When your children fall down and implore you,
You will not be able to dip steadfast your hand in their blood.
I have come at your request. Indeed, although you are bitter against me, I will listen.
Jason, I beg you to forgive me for what I said. Bear with my temper, since we have had much love together. I have reproached myself and said, why? Why am I set against those who have planned wisely? Why make myself an enemy of Creon and of my husband, who does best for me by marrying a princess and having children who will be as brothers to my own? What is wrong with me? Let me give up anger, for the gods are kind to me. Have I not children? When I considered this, I saw that my anger was foolish. I think that you are wise in taking this other wife. I should have joined in the wedding, stood by the marriage bed, have taken pleasure in attendance on your bride. But we women are what we are, and you men must not be foolish in return when we are foolish. I have come to a better understanding now. Children, come here. My children, come here to us. Welcome your father. Take hold of his right hand and make friends with him who loves us. And then say goodbye to him. We have made peace and all our anger is over. Oh, God. Oh, children. How ready to cry I am. How full of foreboding. I am ending at last this quarrel with your father. And look, my eyes are suddenly filled with tears.
And the pale tears have started also in my eyes. Oh, may the trouble not grow worse than it is.
I approve of what you say. And I cannot blame you for what you said before. But now your mind has turned to better reasoning. In the end, you have come to the right decision like the clever woman you are.
And of you, children, your father is taking care. He has made, with God's help, ample provision for you. A time will come when you will be leaders in Corinth with your brothers. Your father and those of the gods who love him will deal with that when you have become young men, healthy and strong. Why are your eyes all wet with tears? Why is your cheek so white and turned away from me? Are not these words of mine pleasing for you to hear?
My children.
You must be cheerful. I shall not forget them.
I will be. It is not that I distrust your words. But the children are young and helpless. And you know what exile is. I know that this is best for me not to be in your way by living here or in the king's way. I accept this exile for myself. But do you, so that you may have the care of them here, beg Creon that the children may not be banished?
I shall with all my heart. But he will not relent, Medea.
You must tell your wife to beg her father that the children may be reprieved.
Though I might fail, she would certainly persuade him. Through her I shall succeed.
You will. And I, too, will take a hand in this business, for I shall send her some gifts. A finely woven robe and a golden diadem, and the children shall present them. Quick, let one of you bring me the gifts. She will be happy not in one way, but in 100. So fine a man as you to share her bed. And this beautiful robe, which Helios of old, my father's father, bestowed on his descendants. There, children, take these wedding presents into your hands. Take them to the royal princess, the happy bride, and give them to her. She will not think little of them.
No, do not empty your hands of these. There is no lack of fine raiment in the palace, or of gold either. Keep them.
If my wife considers me of any value, my wishes will persuade her better than these will.
No, let me have my way. They say the gods themselves are moved by gifts. And for my children's safety, I would give my life. Go, children. Go together to that rich palace. Be suppliants to the new wife of your father. Beg her not to let you be banished. And give her the robe. This is of great importance. She must take the gifts into her hand from yours. Go quick as you can, and bring back good news.
Now there is no hope left for the children's lives. They are walking all day to murder. She will set that crown of death with her own hands.
The grace of perfume and glow of the golden robe will charm her to put them upon her.
The wreath too will charm her. Into such a trap she will fall.
Two old wretched bridegroom. Making your bachelor kings. You do not see that you bring destruction on your children
and on her, your wife, a fearful death.
Mistress, I tell you that these children are reprieved, and the royal bride has been pleased to take in her hands your gifts. In that quarter, the children are secure. Come, why do you stand confused when you are fortunate? Why have you turned round with your cheek away from me? Are not these words of mine pleasing for you to hear?
I am lost.
That word is not in harmony with my tidings.
I am lost.
Am I in ignorance, telling you of some disaster and not the good news I thought?
You have told what you have told.
Why then this downcast eye and this weeping of tears?
Oh, I am forced to weep, old man. The gods and I, in a kind of madness, have contrived all this.
Courage! You too will be brought home by your children.
Before that happens, I shall bring others home.
Others before you have been parted from their children. Mortals must bear in resignation their ill luck.
That is what I shall do. Go.
Oh, children, come here to me.
Oh, my children, you have a city. You have a home. And you can leave me behind you. And without your mother, you may live here forever. But I am going into exile to another land before I have seen you grown to manhood. Before I have dressed your brides and made your marriage beds and held up the torch at the ceremony of wedding. And you will never see your mother again with your dear eyes. Why, children, do you look upon me?
Why do you smile so sweetly, that last smile of all? Oh, what can I do? My spirit goes from me when I see that bright look. I cannot bear to do it. I take my children away from this land. Why should I hurt their father with their pain? No, I will not do it. Ah, what is wrong with me? Will I let my enemies go unhurt and be laughed at? Children, come into the house. And all of you forbidden to come near when I make sacrifice, keep from me now.
Oh, do not, oh my heart, you must not do this. Poor heart, let them go. Have pity on your children. No, by hell's avenging furies, it shall not be. This shall never be, that I should suffer my children to be the prey of my enemies. Come, children. Give me your hand. Give your mother your hands to kiss. Oh, the dear hands. And oh, how dear are these lips to me. And the proud eyes. And the bearing of my children. Oh, how good to hold you. How delicate the skin. How sweet the breath. Go into the house. I am no longer able, no longer able to look upon you.
Often before I have gone through more subtle reasons and have come upon questionings greater than a woman should strive to search out.
But we too have a goddess to help us and accompany us into wisdom.
Not all of us.
This I say, that those who have never had children, who know nothing of it, in happiness have the advantage.
Childless, who never discover whether children bring pleasure or pain, are spared many troubles.
And those who have in their homes the sweet presence of children, their lives are wasted away by their worries.
And then, after all their toil,
if God so wills it,
death will away with your children's bodies and carry them off into Hades.
What is our profit, then, that for the sake of children, the god should pile upon mortals, after all else, this most terrible grief.
Medea! You who have done this dreadful thing, run for your life. Take what you can, a ship to bear you hence, or a chariot.
And what is the reason for flight?
She is dead, the royal princess, and Creon dead too, by your poisons.
How did they die?
When those two children born of you had entered in, their father with them, and passed into the bride's house, we were pleased, we slaves who were distressed by your wrongs. All through the house we were talking of but one thing, how you and your husband had made up your quarrel. Some kissed the children's hands and some their yellow hair. I myself was so full of joy that I followed the children into the women's quarters. Our mistress, whom we honored instead of you, before she noticed that your two children were there, was keeping her eye fixed eagerly on Jason. Then she covered up her eyes, her cheek paled, and she turned herself away from him, angry at the children's coming there. But your husband tried to end the girl's bad temper, and said, "You must not look unkindly on your friends. Cease to be angry. Turn your head to me again. Have as your friends the same ones as your husband has. And take these gifts, and beg your father to reprieve these children from their exile. Do it for my sake." She, when she saw the robe, could not restrain herself. She agreed with all her husband said, and before he and the children had gone far from the palace, she took the robe and dressed herself in it, and put the golden crown around her curly locks, and arranged her hair in a shining mirror, and smiled at the image of herself in it. Then she rose from her chair and walked about the room with her gleaming feet, stepping soft and delicate, overjoyed with the gifts. Then it was a fearful thing to see. The color of her face changed, and she staggered back. An aged woman servant thought this was some seizure of Pan or some other god, and cried out, "God bless us! But that was before she saw the white foam breaking through her lips and the rolling pupils of her eyes and her face all bloodless. Then she raised a different cry from God Bless Us, a huge shriek, and the women ran, one to the king and one to the newly wedded husband, and she, poor girl, with a terrible groan, came to herself, for a twofold pain was moving up against her. The wreath of gold that was resting around her head let forth a stream of all-devouring fire, and the finely woven robe your children gave to her was fastening on her flesh. She leapt up from the chair, and all on fire she ran, shaking her hair now this way and now that, trying to hurl the diadem away. But fixedly the gold preserved its grip, and when she shook her hair, then more and twice as fiercely the fire blazed out, till beaten by her fate she fell down to the ground, hardly to be recognized. Neither the setting of her eyes was plain to see, nor the shape of her face. From the top of her head there oozed out blood and fire mixed together, like the drops on pine bark, and the flesh from her bones had dropped away, torn by the fang of the poison. Terror held us all from touching the corpse. We had learned from what had happened, but her wretched father, knowing nothing, came suddenly to the house and fell upon the corpse and at once cried out and folded his arms about her and kissed her and spoke to her, saying, "Oh, my poor child, what heavenly power has so destroyed you? Who has set me here like an ancient sepulchre deprived of you? Oh, let me die with you, my child." And when he had made an end of his wailing, the old man wished to raise himself. But as the ivy clings to the twigs of the laurel, he is stuck to the fine rope, and he struggled fearfully, trying to lift himself to his knee. But she was pulling him down, and when he tugged hard, he ripped his aged flesh from his bones until his life was quenched. There they lie close, the daughter and the father, dead bodies.
For the words you have spoken, now and hereafter, I shall count you among my benefactors.
Heaven on this day has fastened many evils on Jason, and Jason has deserved them.
Poor girl, the daughter of Creon, how I pity you. You who have gone to the house of Hades.
Women, my task is fixed. Kill my children and leave this land, and not suffer them to be slain by another hand less kindly to them. Force every way now will have it they must die. And since this must be so, I, their mother, shall kill them. Oh, arm yourself in steel, my heart. Come, my hand, and take the sword. Take it. Step forward to this bitter starting point. Do not be a coward. Do not think. Do not think of them. Do not remember now that you are their mother.
O Earth, in the far shining ray of the sun, look down upon this poor lost woman. Look before she raises the hand of murder against her flesh and blood. Yours was the golden birth from which he sprang, and now I fear divine blood may be shed by men.
Oh, heavenly light, hold back her hand.
Check her.
Drive from out the house the bloody fury raised by fiends of hell.
Vain waste your care of children.
Was it in vain you bore the babes you loved after you passed between the dark blue rocks?
Oh, wretched one, how has it come? this heavy anger on your heart.
This cruel, bloody mind.
God asks a stern price for the stain of kindred blood.
Do you hear the cry? Do you hear the children's cry?
Oh, you heart!